Well, welcome to our show. We're so honored to have the great John R. Lott back. It's so good to have you again, sir. Thanks for coming.
Well, thanks for having me on.
So when we jump into this show, the first thing we do is we talk about what's really going on. And you launched a great article recently. And for those of you who don't know John R. Lott, More Guns, Less Crime, his new book we'll talk about shortly. He is considered the gun advocate for America, for the Second Amendment, which protects the First. And something that's really being pushed under the carpet right now is there's a lot of marching laws. And John was here earlier before. But he wrote an article, "If voter ID laws are undemocratic, then so is Europe." Tell us about your article.
Right. Democrats, including former President Obama and Biden, current President Biden, are attacking Republicans for being anti-democratic. And, you know, everything from the New York Times to the Washington Post is making similar types of claims. And the thing is, the types of rules that are upsetting them, like government-issued photo IDs to be able to go and vote, or people putting in, let's say, last four digits of their Social Security number on absentee ballots, or not allowing voting boxes to be left unattended at 3 a.m. in the morning outside, if those are undemocratic rules because they suppress the vote, then essentially virtually all the rest of the world is undemocratic. You look at Europe, for example. There are 47 countries in Europe. 46 and a half of them require government-issued photo IDs to be able to go and vote. And the parts of England which haven't had that rule are switching right now. They're voting on it right now. Boris Johnson's government has put forward legislation that would bring them in line with the rest of the continent. So pretty soon, all 47 countries in Europe are going to require government-issued photo IDs to vote. You look at absentee ballots. 74% of European countries ban absentee ballots for people living in their country. Another 21% allow it, but they require government-issued photo IDs to be able to go and pick up the absentee ballot. They do not send absentee ballots in the mail. And some of those countries require that you have to be in the military or the hospital at the time of the vote, and they just don't take your word for it.
The great John R. Lott, we're going to be right back. We got to go a quick station identification break. I love this segment. We love having you on. KABC, Unapologetic, the Judd Dunning Hour. We'll be right back. So we're here with the great John R. Lott. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's author of Gun Control Myths. He's worked through myriads of departments. He's been around for quite some time, the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Legal Policy. And he's dealt with a lot of the fraud issues out there. He's a real truth teller. And John, thanks for coming back. We know each other through Sandy. You and I both have books out with her. And listen, I wanted to have you back earlier. Your last time on the show was fantastic. So you were making a point about the standards of ID throughout the world. So if voter ID laws are undemocratic, then so is Europe. The heralded Europe, right? The heralded Europe, the EU that we want to be, the homogenization that we want to be. So, I mean, it's amazing because if you look at the same statistics, it's the same with abortion. I mean, American women are radically free, but they rarely look at the face of the rest of the world. So continue to tell us what you were saying about how, in reference to the world, IDs are no big deal and they should be here for American integrity.
Right. Well, so you look at absentee ballots. 74% of European countries ban absentee ballots for people living in the country. Another 21% require that you have to have government-issued photo IDs to pick it up, and they don't send it in the mail. You have to go and physically pick it up. And there are other restrictions that they have. So, you know, 95% of Europe has much stricter rules with regard to absentee ballots, you know, most of them just banning it, than we have here in the United States. And it's not just Europe. You look around the world, developed countries around the world have similar types of rules. Canada and Mexico both require government-issued photo IDs to be able to go and vote. Mexico, also, your IDs also have your thumbprint, which they actually compare, which serves another purpose because when they take your thumbprint, they use indelible ink, which makes it harder for somebody also to try to go and vote multiple times during the day.
If I could just interject one of you think from your article, This is something John wrote. All 47 European countries, except parts of the United Kingdom, require government-issued photo IDs to vote. How racist is it to tell people of minority or color that they don't have the basic intelligence or the financial wherewithal to get an ID when the rest of the world does? Isn't that the conundrum that if you're listening tonight to John, if somebody is telling you that voter ID is racist, you're wrong. You're completely deluded, correct?
Right. Well, I mean, you look at Mexico. Mexico has much, much stricter anti-fraud voting rules than we have here in the United States. They ban absentee ballots for people living in the country. They not only have your picture on an ID, but that you have your thumbprint there that they go and check. And yet, you know, the interesting thing is when they adopted these rules in 1991, voter participation rates went up. And they don't send you the voter IDs in the mail. You have to go apply for it in person. You have to go back a second time in person to go and pick it up. And in most of Mexico, there's in each of the states, there's only one place to go to get your voter ID. People may have to travel 75 miles or so in order to go and get that. And yet, if you look at the three presidential elections after they had all those strict rules, the voter participation rate was 68% versus 59% in the three elections prior to the change in the rules. So what happened was is that when people got more confidence that their votes actually mattered, that the vote fraud was going to be taken care of, people were much more likely to go and turn out and vote than they had been previously.
Vaccine ID could be used, I guess, as well, right? I mean, the conundrum.
Well, I mean, vaccine ID is just a piece of paper, but, you know, it's probably easy to go and print off a counterfeit copy of it.
Right.
But, you know, they're tamper-proof or tamper-resistant type IDs that different countries have. Your real ID for driver's licenses are relatively hard to go and copy. But, you know, the interesting thing to me is if you look at all these countries, not only do all these countries have these types of rules, but it's when you look there, it's agreed on across the political spectrum. I'll give you an example. You look at Northern Ireland. They had a long history of claimed voter fraud that was occurring. In 1985, Margaret Thatcher, obviously a conservative, instituted the first voter ID rules for Northern Ireland voting. And then in 2002, Tony Blair, who headed the Labour government at the time, was concerned that people were counterfeiting some of those IDs. And so he introduced tamper-resistant government-issued IDs, more of them that they had to use. And so you had both Labor and Conservative working to get IDs to make sure people who were who they were. And, you know, the thing is, kind of after the statute of limitations had run out, some academics had went and interviewed the leaders of Sinn Féin. And they were told about how they would have armies of cab drivers that would go and ferry voters from one polling place to another, how they set up buildings with massive printing presses to go and make the fake IDs for people so they could go and register to vote and then actually go and vote. In Mexico, it's become clear that even the Revolutionary Party there admitted that there had been large-scale vote fraud that had been occurring prior to the ID requirements. But all three major parties in Mexico support the ID requirements.
So the bipartisan honesty and integrity was more important than victory. The honesty and integrity for both parties was more important than victory. Can we say that one more time so everyone in America really learns? I mean, we don't have to worry about that on the right, but you're giving us example after example after example of, once again, I mean, this is what we're scrubbing through: the false programming, the gaslighting, the disinformation. What is deteriorating our confidence in our own vote, which I think, too, I do think there's a lot of contamination here in the United States of America, obviously, but I think that what we're doing is we are trying to distract people and distract people from the simple fact, which you're putting out so clearly. Let me ask you a quick question, if I may, because it's important to me, since I have you here. Do you mind if I pivot and ask you about something else? Because you're one of the foremost leaders in the United States on this topic, and it's an honor to have you. What is going on? And thank you for bringing that point to our unapologetic truth. And guys, I'm going to post this at juddunning.com, juddunning.com. Please come and see this article by John. John, what's going on with the CDC and gun owners right now? What is this? What are these reports that have just come out that Rochelle Walensky is planning to do a whole new survey about the disease of gun violence and what the CDC is going to do to get involved? That's a scary premise given what we've seen happen to the CDC, the WHO, and other health organizations.
Right. Well, I mean, the Democrats are giving the CDC, I believe, at least $50 million in this next year's budget. They've had like $20 million this year to go and study gun violence. You know, the problem with the CDC, we've kind of seen with regard to the coronavirus, is that a lot of public health people don't recognize the notion of trade-offs. You know, you want to go and save a life from COVID, but you have to be careful that lockdowns and other things don't cause more harm than the benefits that you might be producing. You have to go and weigh the costs and the benefits. You have to try to figure out the net increase in terms of lives saved or lost as a result of different policies. Unfortunately, a lot of public health people, or the vast majority of them, don't think a lot in terms of trade-offs. They say if we can save one life, it's going to be worth it. And unfortunately, when you have a policy like that, when you have a view of the world like that, you can actually result in more deaths. You know, so in the coronavirus, you have to be careful that you don't end up creating more suicides by having people locked at home. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a similar view that they have on gun issues. And, you know, we, the Crime Prevention Research Center, we did a survey of academics who do research on guns and crime, criminologists, economists, public health people. Criminologists and economists are very skeptical of the efficacy of gun control. In fact, their number one solution for things like mass public shootings is to get rid of gun-free zones for both of those groups. The people who are most favorable to gun control are public health people, and that's where the federal money goes. When they give it to the Centers for Disease Control, the whole purpose is just to funnel it to public health people, and that's the reason why Democrats all the time talk about it, gun crime, as a public health type issue. But, you know, Biden himself has really kind of missed the boat on how to reduce crime, I think. He's given three major addresses on reducing violent crime, and 148 times during those he's either talked about guns or gun violence. Only four times has he mentioned policing, and one of those was about police enforcing gun control. He hasn't mentioned jails. He hasn't mentioned prosecutors once in those things.
It's a completely missing dialogue right now. John, I'm always tight. This is an hour-long show. You're a show yourself, sir. Where can people reach out to you? I would love to have you back in time if you'd give us the great, I think LA loves you. Where can people follow you, sir, and continue to listen to your message?
Well, our website is crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org, and they'll find all our information there.
You are a gentleman, and thank you for coming with your unapologetic truths, John. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
If you're here, you just got here, you just heard from the great John R. Lott, the gun advocate of America with More Guns, Less Crime, KABC, AM 790, Unapologetic, the Judd Dunning Hour. We'll be right back.